favorite part of this scripture is, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, it's, sometimes it's hard to be a disciplinarian and be kind at the same time. But there is, only by God's grace, mothers are able to accomplish that. To be the enforcer and yet be also the caring. Now today we will be talking about mothers, but I want to tell all the ladies here that I have not yet, or for some reason are not able or chose not to become a mother, please allow us to celebrate this unique moment in our everybody's life here, because everyone here had a mother. You know, there's no Adam here, or there's no Eve. We all have a mother, and we all have reasons to be grateful. Now, some of you may had a very not so kind experience with your own mother. It happens. There are people that have been traumatized all their lives because mom did this, mom did that, and they go on blaming mother. I stand before you, and I could give you many reasons and many excuses why things didn't work out in my own life, but I chose to have a better life than a bitter life. And anybody who goes on that wagon blaming somebody else is on denial. And is also telling everybody, I got no brains. Why? Because I'm blaming somebody else for the choices that I am the one responsible for making. So no matter how well you were raised or how bad you're raised, you have to understand one thing. You still have the factor called choice. You made choices. So honor the great things that you learned from your mother, but especially make right choice in your life so that you can give her some credit for what you have become. Yes, the picture. There's a picture missing there, so you have to be creative. Who is that picture? So we titled the message, The Picture of a Mother. When you ask somebody, would you define what is a mother? You'd be amazed that you get many different pictures, many different definitions. Especially in this very upside world that we are living in right now. We have a lot of kids with very, very great need of a good mother on their behind. Because they are misbehaving and they are always blaming, oh, I didn't get this, I didn't get that, I didn't get this, and go on and on. So I have no idea where the mother was. I was driving, we came to the church yesterday, last night, and as we were leaving, we saw some kids, it looks like kids, riding, and we ask ourselves, what are these people doing at this time in the streets? Don't they have a home? They don't have a place? They don't have a family? And the first thing that came to my mind is, where are the mother? God honors mothers, and that's why we do as well. In most places in the Bible, when God speaks of parents, always mention the father first. That's not because of importance. It is, that's the way society is, the role that a father plays as a priest of the home. And by the way, if somebody here wants to be a more modern and don't agree with what I'm saying, I'm just trying to be as close to the Bible as possible. And the Bible says that the priest of the home is the man. That means not a privilege, that means a responsibility. So man, don't get so puffed up to think that you're in charge of something. The first thing you're going to find out in life when you're married, that you're not in charge of anything. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the law says this, the fifth commandment, do you remember? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving. Do you want to live a long life?
Yes.
Respect, respect, respect. And when you want to get a better health, get a little bit more respect. The more respect you have in everything that you do, the longer you live. And that is the secret. Respect for those that are symbolizing God in your life. Because that's the first understanding of God that we have is from our parents, especially from our mother. Let me pause here before I continue to say this. We live in a society right now that it is targeting, trying to destroy the image of a woman. Trying to destroy the image of a man. They are mixing the two to such a way that sometimes a man does not know what it means to be a man, and a woman does not understand what it means to be a woman. And sometimes we are sometimes even embarrassed to say, oh, I'm a housewife. You know, when a woman says, what do you do for, what is your profession? Oh, I'm not employed. I don't work. I tell my wife always, says, never say you don't work, because I have never met a woman that worked as hard as this lady that the Lord brought in my life.
Amen.
She is busy, busy. Sometimes I have to calm her down and say, would you please sit down a little bit? Because she's overactive. She's always wants to do something. She's always on the go. Yes, when you say, who will find a virtuous woman? I got one. It's my for life. So we pray that our children always will recognize this, and I do. And so, brothers and sisters, why is the society working so hard to eliminate those two images? Is because when you no longer have a perfect definition of what a woman is, when you don't have a perfect definition of what a man is, cause confusion. And you know what happens when there is confusion? There is immorality go on. However, there is one exception to the rule. What I'm talking about here is always the Bible mentions the man first, right? The father first. But there is one exception. And here is the exception. And ladies, take your pen and mark this in your Bible. It was done just for you mothers. Leviticus 19. Anybody here knows what is Leviticus 19 is all about? It's all about holiness. Many people do not understand when they go to Leviticus. Leviticus, I cannot eat this, I cannot eat that. I know Leviticus. Some people just fly over Leviticus because they don't want to know what you can eat, what cannot. But let me say this, and I said this before. Leviticus is not about what you can eat, what you cannot. It's how you can be like your Heavenly Father. How you can be holy. So what you eat, things that make you unholy, therefore you distance yourself from God. Because God has no communion with what's unclean. God cannot. And so as Leviticus mentioned, Leviticus is the one who made this exception. When God speaks of three musts, here are the three musts. And all of them will prolong your life. You all know why the if in the middle of life, right? Living eternally is a condition. You have to understand that, okay? The picture of God, and that's what I call. The Lord said to Moses, tell all the people of Israel. And that's why I'm telling you, all the people of Israel are here today. I am the Lord your God. Who is your God? The Lord is your God. Therefore, you must be holy. If you are not pursuing holiness, God is not your God. You cannot have both ways. But it continues. Because I am holy, therefore I want you to be just like me. My picture and your picture should be alike. He's talking about the picture. He continues. You must respect your mother and father. That's the first time the mother comes first. In a matter of respect, you better learn respect right when you come the first few days of your life. Now, many women here does not realize that you are the most important human being in creation. Do you know why I say this? I'm a man. You know, it hurts my pride a little bit just to admit that somebody's great. But it is true. Because not only you give birth to a child, but the first 3.5 years of that human being, you are the one who is shaping that human being. And what that human being will be for the rest of his life, there will be always your fingerprint in whatever that person chooses to do. It's an awesome privilege, but a terrifying responsibility. And God did not choose a man to do such a thing. He chose a woman. And in order for the man not to mess up your work, God said to the man, go out and work. Let the child spend the time with the one who I assigned to shape that child. Yes, that's the way I believe. And you must keep my Sabbaths. Have you noticed there's something consistent here? First, you must be holy. Second, you must respect. Third, you must remember to keep the things that are holy, holy. So have you noticed? All because I am the Lord your God. Now, therefore, you must respect your mother because I am the Lord your God. You must respect your mother because I'm holy and I want you to be holy. Respect is an act of holiness. Amen. Respect is an act of holiness. Some people say, oh, you have to earn respect. Do you know the day that we receive a credit for respect? The day that we were born. Every human being is entitled to be respected. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with the person. It doesn't mean that you have to accept the views that is different than what your principles are. But no one should be denied respect. And by the way, respect is not what the person has. Respect is what you have. If you have, you give. If you don't have, you cannot give. And usually the people who demand respect are people that does not know what respect is. And so you must respect. Some versions even says like this, you must revere, means reverence to your mother. Why? Because the first few years of your life, you don't know who God is. For you, your mother is God. Your father is God. They are in a place of God. If you notice the Ten Commandments, the first is God first. The second part, reverence for your parents first. The top of all the relationships that we have with humans, our parents are on top. All relationship with God, God is on top. It's not by coincidence. The picture of God, brothers and sisters, you must be holy. You must respect. And you must keep what is holy, holy. And this is, now if you imagine a sandwich, okay? Here's there's bread on top, and there is the whatever is in between. And then that of bread. So put that bread first, holiness. And then here comes respect in between. And then more holiness on the bottom. And that's what it makes a good bite. The picture of holiness, the picture of respect, and the picture of worship. That is the three layers of the must that God has established. And any one of you as a child, understand this concept. You will be more reverent, more respectful of your mother. Let me tell you a story that I told some of you, but I'm going to repeat. I was 18 years old, around 18, and I was in the church. And the church has a janitor lives in a property to watch the church. So I used to go there to visit them and spend some time with them. They had no children. The children were gone, you know, already old and everything else. So I would come, and they loved to have somebody to talk to, and we spent a lot of time together. And one day I was there, and somebody knocked at the door, and I told them, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll go and open. I'll check who is coming." And I opened the door, and there was this lady. And she looked at me and says, "Oh, you're Fiota's son." Fiota is not a name of my mother. It is a nickname that she received when she was a child. Now, for somebody who I haven't seen my mother that time for 14 years. I didn't know my mother was alive or dead or what happened to her. And this lady that I have never seen in my life before tells me, "Oh, you're a Fiota's son." I said, "Wow. And what made you say this?" "Oh, I haven't seen your mother for maybe 20 or 30 years." So she knew my mother when my mother was a teenager. So you must by now say, "Wow, you look like your mother a lot." Or this lady was extremely bright. But it was shocked to me that somebody would come. And that was the first time I met somebody besides family members that actually knew my mother. And she went on talking about what kind of a very active person and the way my mother's personality. So that was the first picture, the first idea that I have from somebody outside of my family that talked about my mother. My aunt, her sister, used to tell me, "Oh, your mother, because she was always frustrated the fact that she left me for her to take care, and she took off. And she said, "I'll be back in a few weeks." And she didn't come back. So now let's go to another thing more interesting. God hears the prayers of moms. Amen?
Amen.
He does. Why? Because it is the strongest ally that he has on this earth. You know the word in the Bible says angel? You know what the word angel means? Angel means a messenger. Somebody who is working for God. I believe every mother is an angel. Every mother is a representative of the Lord in this earth. It says God hears the prayers of moms, also of widows, of single mothers, or mothers-to-be. He does. I have met a few people in my life that were desperate to have a child, but they couldn't. And they would try to find if they could get money because fertilization cost a lot of money, so they were trying to get money to do that. And I don't know how many of you have heard of that lady that became very well known on television, that she went and got 8 kids. That's what happens when you let men get involved with that. Fertilization is very risky. Because you may try to get one, you can get a whole dozen. And so, but there are some women that are so desperate to have a child, they will do anything to be a mother. Let me say something else here that some of you may not like. So be prepared. I warned you before, but I'm going to say anyway. I believe a true picture of a mother, of a woman, is that every woman is born to be a mother. Amen. Every woman is born to be a mother. Because God's given you the power to choose, some have chosen not to be. Some cannot be. And some wish they will be. There are mothers that gives birth, and they are not mothers at all. They are just a woman. But there are mothers that never give birth, and yet are real mothers. And so there is a distinction. Giving birth is not, you know, is not being a mother when you just give birth. It's what you do before you give birth and afterwards. That's what is a mother. A virtuous woman. I told you this story also before, but I'm going to say it again. In a college, when we went to college, there was there the women's dorm, and there was there the men's dorm. They always keep their very distant from each other. In the middle is always that I went to two Seventh-day Adventist schools in the same system. In the middle is the school, the administration, everything else. And so on the girls' dorm is always the kitchen and also where we go to eat. And so in Sabbath morning, we finish the service and we have to go to the center, the building in the middle. And there is this sacred line that it was there, but we couldn't see. But we know you don't cross that line until the belt. You stay here, and if you cross, you're in trouble. So we always stay there waiting for that belt because we are hungry. We want to go. The girls decide to tease us. And over there, they were waiting for that bell also, but they were singing, "A virtuous woman, who will find?" And they would pause, and they laugh, and they all of says, "Nobody, nobody, there is no such a thing." And the girls are sending a message to the guys, "So don't keep looking for it because you're never going to find." Yes, there are. I found one, and I know that some others have found theirs as well. Here is one of the stories in the Bible. The Bible tells pictures of a lot of women. And here's one that the Bible does not mention her name. We do not know her name. I believe her name is in the Book of Life, but it wasn't told to us. It just tells us where she was from. You find this story in 1 Kings, chapter 17, 7 to 4. We're not going to go over the whole story. It's just as an illustration. It says that this lady, and we assume by the story, that she was young, but she already had a disaster happen in her life, especially in that culture, that she needed a man in her life in order to keep property, in order to have earn a living, everything else. She was a widow. And she had a young child. All things against her in that case. And so there was, to make things worse, there was a famine in the land. And now she has just what she's holding there. One little bit of oil and one little bit of flour. And she's already made peace with the Lord, says yes, now my son and I, we're going to eat this, and then we're going to lay down and fall asleep, meaning we'll die. She was ready. So the Lord, this is wonderful. You see this story, it says, if you, one of you may say, "Oh, who am I?" You know, just one single person. This is the King of the universe. Send the most powerful message that he had to go and take care of this woman. God hears the cries of mothers of faith who cries out to him, "Don't doubt. Don't ever doubt." I know another story also, somebody, himself came to my church when I was a youth director in my hometown. And he came and he preached, and I remember him telling his own story. He says, "I was very rebellious when I was young, and I left the church, and I pursued many other things. And sometimes my mother would, very patient, come to me and say, 'Son, I'm praying for you. That's all she would say. She would not say, what you're doing is wrong. How dare you? What are you doing? This is disrespect me. Why don't you obey me? And he said that sometimes he would arrive 2-3 o'clock, and he would try very carefully not to make any noise so he won't wake his mother. And when he turned on the light, she was there kneeling, praying for him. He said, this is what turned me around. I'm a pastor today, not, and talk about me, talk about him. He said, I'm a pastor today because my mom asked God to make me a pastor. He says, all the things that I did, all the stupidity, all the bad things that I did, it caused me a lot of scars. But thank God, God healed my scars. And I'm here to tell you, prayers, they do work. Amen. Mothers, continue praying. When we have a prayer meeting, every time we ask a mother, what is your prayer? And the first thing the mother will say, oh, my children. They always, it is very important. God answers our prayers, the mother's prayers. God sent Elijah, which is a prefigure of Christ, and Elijah saved her child. Now, Elijah said this to the lady when the boy was dead. He said, give me your son. God is telling you mothers the same thing today also. Give me your child. And how can you give your child to God? Sometimes mothers pray for God, please help my child, help my child, help my child. But yet, when it's time to take that child to church, the mother's too busy. And mothers, no matter what you do, if you don't like the sermon, if you don't like the pastor, if you don't like the Sabbath school teacher, don't get in your car and poison the mind of your children. Because what you're doing, you're pushing them out of the church. You are not forced to like everything, but you are responsible for the words that you say. And that child listens to you. You are the most important person in that child's life. So whatever you say is sacred. So please, be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Because their eyes and their ears, they are copying you. A picture of a virtuous mother. Her children stand and bless her. You know what a bless her means? Make her happy. That's what it means, bless her. Make her happy. Her husband praises her as well. And this is what he says. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, and there are, brothers and sisters. Some women here today may say, oh, it's so hard. I have to take a food from the refrigerator, and I have to put it in the microwave. Oh, it's so hard. I have to push a button there, and I have to wait for a few seconds. Oh, it's, what a life. There are millions and millions of women that have to walk hours to get gallons of water every day. And when you look inside of the water, not even dogs will drink that water. And they are bringing home, they are cooking, they are going to get wood. They work. They really work. And here are we. The hardest work that we do sometimes is to push some buttons. And we complain. You have more time to invest in your children. I have heard sometimes that people, some women says, oh, I got to work. Why? Because I need to support, help my husband. And please, I'm touching something here that can be delicate, but I have to talk anyway. So some women say, I have to. Do you know why some women wants to work? Because it's not easy to be a mother. I can understand that they want some time to breathe. They want some time out of that that situation. And sometimes work is a good way, a good excuse for us to get away. Some women work because they have to. But a lot of women work because they want to, not because they have to. Some people say, oh, we need an extra income because we have five more cars
to pay.
We need a house. We are only three people, but we need a house with 10 rooms. Why so many rooms? Because we want to go and buy stuff. We want rooms. We need rooms to put those stuff. How many people have a house that we have a four-car garage so that in two of them, they pack with stuff, and that's the way life is. But you surpass them all. How many times do you tell your spouse how precious they are in your life? Don't wait only for Mother's Day. Don't, please. God loves us with a greater love. Here is the verse that I first read when I was 16 years old. First Bible that I was given to and really touched me and changed my life. Because that was the problem that I had in my life. I said, where is my mom? Where is she? Can a woman forget the baby she nurses? I asked myself, I guess they can. Because where is my mom? Can she feel no kindness for the child to which she gave birth? I thought, I guess so, because where is my mom? Even if she could forget her children, and this is the part that touched me. It says, I will not forget you. And this is the time when I found a family. In my first time in my life, I really had a family. And you have been part of my family since then. And we are stuck together. You remember the 3 o'clock, right? You know what at 3 o'clock is going to happen? The right side of the tree of life? I'm going to be with all my family there. Amen. And I hope that you don't miss that. See, this is what the Lord says. I have written your name on my hand. So that point on, I knew what my last name meant. I knew that I was part of eternal family. I have a mother. The church became my mother. The church became and gave me all the things that I need in that aspect. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Please don't forget that. Even when they misbehave, don't forget that. Moms, let me see your hands. Moms. You do not know what I tricked you to. You just volunteered to something. You volunteer to take charge of that human being that God puts in your trust. Remember, the only job that you really have is not to give that child a doctor degree or what. Yeah, that could be part of the package. But the most important thing that you have received is to give the child back to the Lord when he comes.
Amen.
He's going to say, Mom, where is the treasure that I put in your hand?
Amen.
Did you bury it or you multiplied?
Amen.
What kind of picture does the Lord see in your frame? My son, keep your father's commands. But, and don't forget your mother's teachings. Some verse says instructions. Okay, don't forget your mother's teaching. Keep their words in mind for how long? Forever. Many mothers, I know we're talking about the children here, but meaning this, everything you're planting on the heart of your child is meant to be forever. So therefore, it's for God's sake that you are imprinting. As though you had been tied around your neck, they will guide you when you walk. They will guard you when you sleep. They will speak to you when you are awake. And whatever you do, our children will reflect what you put in their hearts. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, 21, and 22, New Century Version is that version. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope that we honor our mothers, because to have respect for them, to honor them, is to honor the Lord who put them in your life. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Now, those of you that raise your hand, we have something to give to you. Would you please stand?